everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Live. I'm Missy Matthews. It is Coordinator Thursday, so we'll get a chance to hear from Todd Haley and Dick LeBeau. Joining me today in studio is Tunch Ilkin of the Steelers Radio Network and Bob Labriola of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. Before I send it over to the guys, let's go over the practice report. The guys who did not practice today, Cortez Allen with the ankle, Le'Veon Bell with his foot injury, and Curtis Brown, who was sick. Limited today, Steve McClendon with hamstring, Heath Miller with the knee, and Sean Sweezum also with a hamstring. And guys, we tried to talk to Sean Sweezum before practice just to see where he was standing in terms of that hamstring. He didn't really give us much, so no real update on that. But the good news is Heath still kind of taking that next step and working with the team.
Yeah, when you look at the practice report, Missy, there's really nothing to me that's surprising on it. Mike Tomlin said at his news conference on Tuesday that Cortez Allen would not participate early in the week. It is Thursday, but since the game is Monday, that translates into early in the week. Le'Veon Bell is not ready to come back to practice yet. Guys get sick. Tunch, you mentioned the Steve McClendon. Yeah, that hamstring that he had, it kind of slipped under the radar.
I heard nothing about it, Labs. And what's worrisome to me about that, not the injury, is that Steve McClendon is playing terrific football. And, I mean, he was just outstanding against Tennessee. As a matter of fact, because of the loss, you know, we lost sight of the fact that all three of the down guys, actually four with Cam Hayward as well, they all played really, really good football. And Steve McClendon was the leader of the pack. You know, he took Rob Turner, their free agent center, kept driving him into the backfield. And I'd hate to see Steve McClendon have any lingering effect from whatever is bothering his hammy.
All right, let's start with Todd Haley for today's Coordinator Thursday. Obviously, he was asked about how to get the offense going in week two.
Well, we have to be better, number one. But we obviously, you know, we can't turn the football over and expect to win. So protecting the football has to be a priority for anybody touching it. We got to be more efficient in the run game, you know, clearly. We've got to stay on the field. You know, after the first drive, the third downs, things like that, everything went downhill, and we have to be better across the board. Just execute and do your job, and better things will happen.
But how can you be better in the run game? What do you guys have to do better there?
Well, you know, I think that how things played out last week had an effect. You know, again, injuries are part of the game, but probably worst case scenario as far as we were concerned offensively, just how we planned to go into the game. Losing Pounce when we did, it really affected three guys, you know, and Lerod going down, he had a specific package. So we obviously didn't get it done, and we need to be better in a lot of areas. Having a week to prepare, understanding, figuring out what our strengths and weaknesses are, a big part of what we do as coaches, and that those variables changed this week with a couple of the personnel changes. So we've made the necessary adjusments, and we've had a couple good practices.
Todd, have you planned to use Kelvin a lot at tight end to help in the running game?
The plan was he was going to be involved in a good deal. Again, that's been a position that we've had some people out, obviously, Heath being number one, but he's a very versatile guy that we felt would give us some benefit in that area in that particular game. So, you know, like I said, injuries are part of it. It happens. You got to adjust on the fly, and we just didn't do a good enough job from an adjustment standpoint or an execution standpoint.
What have you seen from Valesco the few days he's been here?
Well, you can tell he's been in the league, you know, for a number of years, and you can tell that he's played the center position. So, you know, we're trying to get him up to speed as best we can, just like any other player that comes in new to us that's missed an offseason and a training camp. So, you know, because there's terminology issues, there's calls. Really, for an offensive lineman, there's a lot to learn. So he's our coaches are working night and day with him, trying to just get him up to speed.
Will this be a committee approach to the running back? Will Redmond get the bulk of the carries?
We're still, as the week goes on, we're really still working through that. You know, we need Isaac to bounce back and play a better game. He didn't play his best game, along with really all of us. We didn't coach our best game. So everybody's got to bounce back and play better football, and better things will happen.
Tunch, what's your take this week? What is the one thing you need this offense to do to be successful in week two?
Missy, they got to start out fast. Look, you've got to build some continuity. You have to build momentum. They have not been able to do that offensively throughout the preseason and last week versus Tennessee. And you do that by moving the chains. And however you need to do that, whether it's the quick passing game, whether it's the draws, whether it's, you know, start that running game, you got to win on first down. And a win on first down is 4 yards. You put yourself in a second and six situation. Now, you know, you hear Mike Tomlin talk about being on schedule. Well, that's what he means, being on schedule. And you have to do that, you have to build momentum. And when that momentum comes, then you start playing with confidence. Then the continuity starts. And then, things good and bad, they tend to snowball. So really important that they start out
quick.
But
when you say start fast, you're not saying open in the no-huddle.
No. That's not what I meant.
I know that's not what you meant.
Yeah.
But I think that is a common perception of what you meant, and I wanted to clarify.
Well, if you start out with the no-huddle and you don't convert, then you're very quickly going nowhere.
Right.
All you're doing is giving your defense, you're getting your defense back on the ball really quick, or back out on the field rather quickly.
Yeah, that was one of the points that has been made on several of the shows that I have done.
Yeah.
Callers calling in and saying, well, you know, the Steelers couldn't run the ball and they really were having trouble pass blocking for Ben. Why didn't they go to the hurry up? And to me, all that means is you punt quicker.
Yeah,
if you can't run it or protect the quarterback and you're running no huddle, it just means you punt quicker.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that Labs, the beauty of this organization is they never panic. And it's so easy. I mean, you know, I heard you on the radio last night on 970 ESPN with Wolf and Pursuta. And people are calling up with all sorts of crazy ideas. And in the blogs, everything from fire Colbert, Tomlin, and everybody, you know, and you look at the way this team has been over the last, since 2001. I mean, you know, you miss the playoffs every blue moon. You know, they've been to 3 Super Bowls. Everybody relax. And, you know, so, well, why aren't we doing what Tom Brady and New England said? Well, they haven't won a Super Bowl since 2004. Well, why aren't we doing what Denver and Peyton Manning? Well, they haven't won a Super Bowl since 1994. Well, how about a little pistol and a little speed option, a little zone option, a little whatever? I mean, come on. It just everybody relax. Let the season develop and let the offense get better. How? Through hard work. Not by changing stuff.
Staying on offense touch, let's talk about the center position. Todd Haley said there that he wants the best center to be playing on Monday. He said the fact that Calvin Beecham last week did a lot of scheming in terms of tight ends and blocking, and that will not factor into his decision. Do you believe that, and who would you start?
I'm a firm believer you play the center, the guy that's a natural center. Center is a very unique position. It's unlike guard or tackle. You can go from tackle to guard or guard to tackle even through the course of a football game because of the way it is. But you can't do that with center. As you're watching there, Velasco's working against they're working against the other off. He's working against Calvin Beecham. The thing about Velasco is it's very natural for him. You watch the way he moves. He snaps and he moves together. It's harder for Calvin Beecham because Beecham has played guard and tackle, and he's played a little center. There you see him right there. It does not come naturally for him. A lot of people are saying, yeah, but he doesn't know the offense, doesn't know the terminology. Think of it this way. It's not like you're learning a whole new language. Say you spoke Spanish. It'd be like learning Portuguese. It's not the same as learning everything anew. I think Velasco will be fine. And if he is fine, which I believe he will be, then you can use Calvin Beecham at tight end. And then you've got 6 guys on the field that can run block, and hopefully you get your running game going.
All right, well, we could not kind of pass up the opportunity to talk to James Harrison today. He had a conference call with the Pittsburgh media. We had a chance to record that, and we're going to play some of that for you now.
What does this game mean to you?
Another game on schedule. It means it's a division of games, so it means more than a little more than the rest. So that's about it.
You know, some of us don't believe that. We believe you have a little extra going for you here.
Well, that's for y'all, you know, to say. I mean, I'm telling you what it is. You can believe what you want, but I mean, I can only tell you what it is. I can't change your thinking process.
Have you gotten a chance to see Jarvis Jones at all?
No, I haven't.
What do you think after watching the Steelers' offense on tape, James? They had a rough opener against Tennessee.
Yeah, you know, they had a rough one week first. You know, they lost their best offensive player that they had in Pouncey. But, you know, I'm sure they'll come back to the drawing board and get things together and, get whatever, needs to be corrected and, come back with vengeance.
Will you be jawing much with the Steelers on? Is that your style?
I was never a talker to begin with.
So this one won't get you going a little. You won't have something to say to Ben or Marcus Gilbert or any of those guys?
I mean, if, we talk before the game, good luck, That's about it.
How have you been accepted in Cincinnati?
Oh, good. I mean, everybody tell me how they used to hate me, but now they love me. So, it's all right.
Are the Bengals a Super Bowl team? You think they can win a Super Bowl, James?
Definitely.
Got a prediction for Monday night?
A prediction?
Yes.
As far as what you want me to predict?
Sacks and the winner.
Sacks and the winner. I don't know. That's why we play the game out, and we'll see what ends up after 60 minutes is done.
All right, that, of course, number 92, Tunch. Talk to us a little bit about what Harrison does differently in terms of being in the Bengals defense.
Well, Missy, they play a 4-3 over and under, and mostly a 4-3 over, and that means that the defensive line is shifted over to the tight end side. And what they do with number 97, Geno Atkins, they put him on the outside shoulder of the guard. Now, you're going to see James line up opposite Geno Atkins, and he's going to be stacked like on the bubble between the defensive end, Michael Johnson, normally, and the stunt nose tackle, which is D'Amato Pecco. And he's a stacked guy. So it unlike in his days with the Steelers, where he'd line up on as an outside linebacker on the outside, and he'd just come. He'd either crash and try to make the play from behind, or what he'll do is he'll take the tight end, and that's where he was best, at holding the point, the edge, as they called it, or coming off the edge when there's no tight end there. He's a stacked outside linebacker now, so he still makes plays. He's still a physical, strong guy, but this is not what utilizes where his best skill set is. He'll make some plays. He made some technique, had three tackles, but he's not rushing the passer very much. I think he rushed about five times last week against the Chicago Bears. And, it's one of the things I wonder is, has Mike Zimmer figured out how to use him just yet, or has he not shown it yet? Those are two questions that I kind of have, Labs.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you this. What is the I've heard it said that, James Harrison can't play on the line of scrimmage anymore.
Oh, I don't believe that. I just think it's in their defense, the outside linebacker doesn't play on the line of scrimmage.
When you're on the line of scrimmage,
yeah.
What is being asked of you as opposed to when you're a stacked linebacker?
Well, when you're a stacked linebacker, you're flowing to the ball. It's a chase mode. What you're doing is you're reading the offensive line. In his case, it's the tackle. You're reading the tackle through to the running back. And then when you see the ball carrier go, then you just fly to the ball. When you're on the line of scrimmage, if you're the outside linebacker to the tight end side, you've got to hold up the tight end and not get hooked. They call that setting the edge. And so that you need to string the play out without getting turned in. Now, sometimes you take the inside and crash, and we've seen James make a lot of plays like that. When you don't have a tight end there, what you're doing is you're coming off the edge, rushing the passer. If it's a pass, you want to get on the quarterback. And if the play goes away from you, you're coming down the line, and you're going to make the play from behind. I don't believe that James can't do that anymore. I believe he can. Can he do it as well as he did it in the prime of his career? Absolutely not. No, who does that at 35? I just think that as a stack backer, he is playing something that's not as comfortable, not as familiar to him. And he does a nice job in space in that short, those 5 yards that he's in charge of. But if he's got to cover downfield, if he's got to fly to the ball, I just don't think that's his forte.
All right, let's move over to the Bengals offense and get a chance to hear from Steelers defensive coordinator Dick LeBeau.
Well, you know, the more weapons they have, the tougher they are to defend. And they've got two real talented guys there. But I would rather have them have three real good tight ends and no A.J. Green. I'll put it that way.
Trying to defend you. Yeah, right.
But it gives them a good combination. And, you know, they've got a similar personnel package right there, you know, to what New England's got now. And then New England, you know, when they were rolling with those two tight ends, in fact, they probably didn't have a wide receiver as good as this guy. So I think, and they got the good running back and now a veteran quarterback. They're a formidable offense, no doubt.
I don't want to call a couple teams doing that a trend, but are we seeing more of that, those dual tight end pass catching threats like that?
Actually, that's been around for a long time, Jerry. Depending, you know, on how the team put together and how they want to go in the draft and everything. But the two tight end formations, gosh, I don't know. And even going back into the 70s, late 70s and 80s, three tight ends a lot. And you're seeing that.
Were they pass catching? No,
that's an accurate statement. But I think most people that put two tight ends out there, they have confidence that they can both, you know, run pass routes.
Are you trying to get Al Woods a little more time in there at the nose?
Well, Al's in our rotation now, so he's going to get his snaps. He played, you know, he's virtually got the role that Steve had last year, and that's to go in there. And Al can, like Chris Hope could do for us, Al can play end and nose, so he's a valuable guy for us. And he played well against Tennessee, so we're going to give him snaps. Particularly early in the season in the hot weather, it's good to roll your linemen if you've got the people that you can roll them with.
Tunch, let's talk about the first thing LeBeau said in that interview. Of course, you can hear the rest of it later on Steelers.com. He was talking about the Bengals' two tight end set and how he'd rather have lots of good tight ends than one A.J. Green, but they have a lot of different offensive weapons this year.
You know, Missy, absolutely. And this rookie from Notre Dame, Tyler Eifert, is phenomenal. 6'5", 6'6", maybe 250 pounds. He can run. And to think that they already had a quality tight end in Jermaine Gresham, both these guys, man, could get up the field. You know what? The thing that they do is they give you speed at the tight end spot, but they also they give you two tight ends that can run really good routes. And you look at the way Andy Dalton plays the game. He throws a lot of short to intermediate routes, and he throws them very well. He's very, very accurate. And he finds these guys when they – if you're playing man against them, let's face it, they're pretty good against outside linebackers and tight ends – or strong safeties, rather. And if you play zone against them, both these guys are pretty good at finding the hole in the zone and just hooking up and catching the ball. But if you get lulled to sleep on these guys, there's a guy number 18 – A.J. Green, who just can get over the top of you in a hurry. And the other thing that they can do now, because of these two tight ends, you heard Dick talk about New England and Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. These two guys bring you more speed than those two guys do. They don't have the same size and girth as Gronkowski, but these two guys will get vertical on you. And if they line up in a two tight end set with A.J. Green and Sanu on the outside, you can see some four all vertical routes down the field, and that's going to be a challenge. So the real premium for the Steelers' defense is going to be, number one, when Dalton completes the underneath stuff, you got to tackle the catch. Do not give these guys yards after the catch. The other thing is be patient. He's going to get those completions. They're going to move the chains. Don't let it frustrate you, and don't gamble to where you get beat over the top with A.J. Green.
Right. Because, you know, I never like to disagree with Dick LeBeau, but I'm here to tell you that if Andy Dalton wants to throw to those two tight ends, 8 yards, 8 yards, 8 yards, 8 yards, 8 yards, fine.
That won't kill you.
Right.
Right.
A.J. Green will kill you. And I'll tell you what, I think if Tom Brady was given the opportunity to have a receiver like that.
Right.
To complement those two tight ends.
Absolutely.
That's what would make it special.
Yes, yes.
For all the Steelers' injuries from the Titans game, we talked a lot about different replacements and how things will work going into week two. The one that we have not touched on yet this week, of course, is inside linebacker with the loss of Larry Foote. So let's take a listen to what Keon Lewis has to say about potentially gaining that job.
From a personal aspect, I would absolutely love to find a home. I mean, being from team to team, active roster, practice squad, cut to the streets, that's just a personal goal to accomplish. But whatever the organization sees in me, that's what I'll have to go with.
What were you doing? I apologize. What did you do last year?
Last year, I worked, well, after preseason, right. Bills kept rolling around, so I had to get a job. I got certified to sell insurance, and I did insurance adjusting. I went up to New York and worked Hurricane Sandy, traveled around, got back home, and then that's when I began to sell insurance.
Did you have time to train? I mean, I imagine it was pretty work intensive.
It was. Football was my main priority, so my mornings were dedicated to training. Everything around that was to pay bills.
You could say you're a pretty good salesman.
I would say I'm a pretty good salesman. I could sell you insurance if you need it.
How did that change your perspective about football?
Not many people are blessed to do what we do, and working two jobs just to maintain was definitely not fun. So moving forward, I mean, I know what it's like to have to wake up 6 o'clock in the morning, drive total 80 miles a day just to make ends meet, not even get ahead, but just to make ends meet. So for me to be back in this position, I'm truly embracing it and really excited to move forward.
What were you doing on the side? I mean, you're playing behind a guy or two guys that are really, I'm going to say, iron men in terms of, like, they don't get hurt. I mean, it never happens. Were you ready? I mean, what were you doing the second? I mean, the footy, I saw him, it was on the play that CJ kind of slipped by him and went for the
right.
First down. I mean, Did he come off that play, or was it the next?
He came off the exact play. I was standing on the sideline. One thing, I'm always prepared for the game, especially with Coach, our special teams coach. He is always be ready, always be ready. So my helmet is on. I'm not strapped up at the moment, but my helmet is on. I see Larry go down. He's on an elbow at the time. I'm looking, and at that moment, Coach Butler called 55. So I was already on the sideline, and I was ready to go.
Tunch, talk to us a little bit about Keon Wilson, and just kind of, a lot of people didn't know about him until the whole thing with Larry's bicep went down.
Missy, a lot of people didn't know about it, but we knew about it. We were talking about him all through training camp. He was a guy that shined. You see him right there. That's what you call playing downhill. In this video sequence versus the New York Giants, he's number 48, but he's 55 now. And good linebackers play downhill. That means they attack the line of scrimmage. There you see him getting a shot on Eli Manning. And what makes this kid so, I think, so effective, and why he is starting this week, is there's no hesitation to him. Sometimes inexperienced players, they get a little paralysis by analysis, or they even hesitate before they make a move. This kid, if you watched him in the Tennessee game when he came in, one of the things that was really impressive to me is the way he attacked the line of scrimmage. So their number one pick from Alabama, Chance Warmack, he came out to run block him. Keon Wilson attacked him, drove him back into the backfield. Andy Levitre, their $46 million man, free agent offensive guard, he comes out to block him. Keon Wilson stuffs him. He's got an understanding of the game. And the other thing, and you could hear it in that interview, as a insurance adjuster, he is hungry. He is hungry. He doesn't want to go back to selling insurance, I don't think. He loves playing football. You can see that in him, and he is just excited to be here.
You know, when training camp opens, I'm always one of those guys that is down to practice with the roster in my hand, just to, you know, because you got to learn the numbers.
Right.
And I remember once the pads went on, first day was backs on backers run. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a couple of times I remember hearing the pads pop and looking at my roster and, oh, 48, Wilson, okay. Then the next day was backs on backers pass. And he broke up a couple of passes. Backs on backers run is totally weighted towards the linebackers because they have an opportunity to get a running head start at the running back in a pass rush situation. When they do backs on backers pass, it's totally weighted towards the running backs.
Coverage.
Because it's coverage.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no pass rush. You're covering a guy. He's running all over the field.
Right.
I mean, and Keon Wilson broke up a couple of passes in that drill, and then from that point on, I knew who 48 was.
Right.
And, you know, this guy is someone who, you know, to come as far as he did in one camp.
Right.
To me, it's fairly significant. I'm hoping that he does well in this opportunity to start, and he's a very interesting guy.
Yeah, and I hope he doesn't have to use that insurance license.
All right, well, that will do it for us here today on Steelers.com Live. Thanks for joining us. For Tunch and Bob, I'm Missy. We'll see you again tomorrow at 4.